Service Radio.
Full Service Radio, also proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Brightest Young Things Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This is a radio show. It's not really a radio show because that's not how internet works. It's a podcast and a streaming thing, but people like to say radio. Whatever. Anyways, you're listening to Brightest Young Things Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. We are a weekly edition of essentially the website, Brightest Young Things. Brightest Young Things is an arts and culture website that originated and still remains in Washington, D.C., home of very interesting and important people that have zero voting rights. This week, we're going to talk about what's on the website, which we do every single week, and I'm with the most important to Brightest Young Things, and that's not blowing smoke up anyone's ass. Also, how is that a phrase? How is blowing smoke up someone's ass a phrase?
Who does that?
That no one would want to do that. Anyways, that's not a good way to impress your boss. My boss is here. Svetlana, you're here.
Yes, I am.
Svetlana, I think I've said your name incorrectly 9 out of 10 times. Legatic.
Legatic. That's an excellent job.
The third syllable, I think I screwed up. I didn't add this.
I would say 9/10 of our office don't know how to say my last name.
I know how to say your name, and I learned how to say your name correctly the first time I met you in 2010, and I have I just never used it again. I just decided to go the wrong route.
There's no reason, really. I mean,
names are silly. I don't like being called Weatherby. You guys have called me that since I've started. I love my job. Please don't fire me.
Actually, fun fact, right?
You better not follow this up with fun fact, you're fired.
No. Fun fact, Brandon and I met.
That's correct.
When he interviewed me in 2010 after he just moved to D.C. And as a direct result of how impressed I was by his interviewing skills, he now gets to go into our office every day.
That's right. It only took 5 years to get that gig. I'm happy with it. I love it. Yeah, we met on December 9th, 2010. And then I harassed you a few months later because I said, hey, I'm going to read Empire Records from start to finish just because.
Yes, I was very impressed. I'm a big fan of any pointless, interpretive, cultural, like, idea.
So I was lucky enough to have a space where I could read Empire Records in a chair like a very dramatic man that I am. Yeah. And I read it.
And then we did Pump Up the Volume.
And I did Pump Up the Volume at the former Brightest Young Things
All of
vitamin
these are references
space.
That if you are not a person in your 30s, like, you do not care about anything.
You don't think
any of this anymore.
People under 30 know about vitamin water?
Well, I don't think they know about Pump Up the Volume.
Okay, Pump Up the Volume is a documentary starring Mr. Robot's Christian Slater and Stranger Things mom Winona Ryder.
And it's set a radio.
It's set as a pirate radio show.
Yeah.
And it opens with Leonard Cohen's Everybody
also
Knows.
Also known as podcast.
It's the start of podcast. Blame Christian Slater as the start of podcasting.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that in 2018, Christian Slater would be somewhat more respectable than Jack Nicholson?
Is he?
I think he is. I don't think there's any weird scandals.
Is this, like a, real conversation we're having right now?
Yeah, that's every conversation we have is real. That's how all conversations work. Think about that, though. Christian Slater is really respectable right now. He won a Golden Globe last year. No one saw that coming 10 years ago.
But I guess at the same time, like, I mean, I understand that, like, Mr. Robot, is that what it's called?
I've never
seen
an episode.
Important show. I've never seen an episode either. So, like, it's all kind of, like, we're thinking by osmosis he is more respectable. I feel like when Jack Nicholson was, I mean, he was, like, an omnipresent star. Like, right now, no one is watching the same things.
That's right.
No one, you know, like, there's no way, like, all we do in the office is sit and talk at each other, like, what we're watching. And you say, like, oh, you should see this, which is what, by the way, this episode is going to be
I will
about.
Handle the segues. Every
and
year.
And then someone else says, I have not seen that, but have you seen this? And then it's almost like a Portlandia episode.
Yes, good reference. It comes back. It's in our Your Best January. It comes back later this month. That's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is two things. One is very cleansing, and the other one could be cleansing if you're a horrible human being. So the second thing is murder. We're going to talk about murder for the majority of this episode, specifically murder mysteries, not the actual act of
this
murder.
This is my prime role at full service radio is to discuss murder.
This is your second show in 2 weeks. She was on the Sun Cinema show that you could hear on the full service radio feed. Is that right, Jack?
That is correct.
Does anybody
iTunes and
whatever. Yeah, does anybody else credit Brightest Young Things Radio for throwing so many gifts their way, shining the light on all these people? Who's thanking me every episode? Come on, man.
Yeah.
You're the boss. Make them do it. Anyways, every single year, you spend a lot of time, a lot of hours, pretty much documenting what you've been watching the previous year that relates to murder. This is the third year you're doing it? Third or fourth?
The first one was 2015, so this is the fourth year.
This is the fourth year, and like a lot of people do physical body cleanses, you do murder mystery cleanses.
Yes, so, I have done some physical body cleanses.
We'll get to that later. This year, Murder Mystery Guide is now available on brightestyoungthings.com. Yes. I highly recommend it. It's 8,000 words.
It's 8,000 words.
Plus.
It is also the number one Google search result when you search this, because it is truly, and I'm not tuning my own horn because I have nothing to gain from this, truly, the most definitive destination for that kind of information out there.
Which begs the first question.
I have a life. I have a husband. I have a company. I do things all day. But this is like a weird, unique, niche skill set.
Okay. Weird is a good question here. Yeah. Let's start with that. Why?
I'm not a morbid person also.
That's what I want to talk about. Why?
Like I am wearing a pink sweater right now.
I don't know if you know this. People that wear pastel colors can also be sad and morbid. I don't think it's a one and all be all.
I think I'm actually like a pretty joyous person. I'm like driven by joy.
I know that. I hope that you are. You just know the most about murder mysteries and how to get away with murder.
In the world.
In the world. Which is not necessarily a healthy thing you want to hear if your employer's like, guess
like
what?
I can truly say, on the internet, I know the most about murder mysteries.
What inspired you to do this in 2015?
Well, after, you know, I started out this website to write about things I liked. And then as business kind of took over and my responsibilities shifted more to, you know, keeping people alive and coordinating things and having meetings and holding hands and stuff like that, I kind of felt a little bit of me, like, leave me. And while I didn't necessarily feel as competent about a lot of the things that I used to write about, I asked myself the question, you know, you always are best at, you know, sharing something that, mm-hmm. that you know and care about. And, like, truly, like, the answer was murder. It was something that I spent a fair amount of time on watching. And I kind of took a lot of deep dives. And I also felt like when I searched the internet to find new things to watch, they really... Everything felt very obvious to me. And okay. I kind of felt that I couldn't possibly be the only person that has seen, like, the obvious five, 10 shows. Mm-hmm. So I thought there is an audience for this, and I was right, because it's our number one click story every year.
When you started this in 2015, were you just writing about what you had seen, or were you searching out things to watch to include in the guide?
I just wrote about what I had seen, okay. which was a fair amount of things. And obviously over the last 4 years, this has only grown. And now we have like some fun categories, mm-hmm. you know, because you can't have 8,000 words of just things. You gotta like allow people some opportunity to pick and sort, you know, sort of like how like Netflix guesses what you're into. So.
And we're going to go through those categories later on, and we're mm-hmm. going to recommend stuff from them. But I want to talk about more about what's changed since 2015 to 2018. Maybe it's because I'm so close to you and the site that I think everyone is now obsessed with murder. I don't know if it's a new trend. I don't know if it has anything to do with the political climate. I don't know if it's just like, it's the winter. It's cold out. That's a murdery time.
100% winter is a perfect time for murder. Because, you know, this kind of sense of claustrophobia and everything else. I think also when the going gets rough, which mm-hmm. it does get rough in D.C., like mm-hmm. mentally and emotionally, it feels almost like cathartic to watch something that has like a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it feels kind of almost purging to watch people do something terrible, but like know that there is a solution towards the end.
Well, you keep saying murder, but I think mystery is a bigger part of the murder for the majority of these shows. This is not just revenge, not revenge porn, I'm sorry. Jack, help me out here. What's the term that Saw is?
Gore porn?
Gore porn,
torture?
Right?
Torture porn. Yeah. Thank you. I shouldn't have ever asked Jack, and I apologize.
I hate those movies. I can't watch that.
There's no torture porn in this.
Yeah, this is...
This is like a very elegant...
I would say it's fair to say that the majority of the
it's about elegant murder.
Still murder at the end of the day. The majority of these are women leads. The majority of these are not American, which means their accents are better.
Yep.
And you speak with bias, clearly.
Yes.
Okay. And the majority of these are very, I'd say, clean and good looking. Very few are ugly.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's these whole television industries in different countries that are entirely, like, shaped on it. And I think, like, if you get into it, there's a lot of sort of fun ways to discover some of the most famous actors, like, that came from Britain. Like, everyone has made it through, like, some Agatha Christie classics.
There was something in here, I don't remember which one, but it had, like, the cast of The Walking Dead and the cast of a bunch of other shows.
Yeah, I mean, truly, if you think about it, I always use the Red Riding trilogy, which is,
probably one of
the best things that is out there. But this is how Hollywood discovered Andrew Garfield. This is how Hollywood discovered Rebecca Hall, Sean Bean. Like and this is just like a TV movie.
Here's the most serious question
that England made.
I will probably ever ask you or anyone else. Do you fear death?
I don't think about it.
Okay.
At all.
Do you think because you don't think about it, it's easy to enjoy these on a surface level rather than this is about the pain and suffering of...
I don't think about it as a pain and suffering kind of viewing. I think, you know, we're all sort of fascinated by the dark side. I mean, I think you can pick up any 15-year-old girl off the street and, like, you ask them what their favorite subject is in high school and they'll say psychology because, like, you know, there's, like, a reason why, like, V.C. Andrews was, like, a bestseller, right?
Yeah.
Best-selling author. Like, it's not because it was good, you know? It's because we're all sort of fascinated by the darker side, especially if potentially we're, like, afraid to tap into our own.
Now,
and I read somewhere, actually, that the majority of viewers of both murder mysteries and consumers of true crime, which is, like, an interesting subset of that has become more and more popular, are women who, you know, live these, like, in many ways, relatively conventional, civilized lives. And this is just sort of like an outlet, kind of how, like, men go and, like, jump in mosh pits. Or whatever.
Yes. Right? All of me and my fellow brother and are going to jump in the nearest mosh pit to relieve some stress.
I mean, it's a release.
I understand completely. Yeah. I think that this is a fair time to transition into those categories because this is not just full of...
No, this is like a very well organized research.
There's two things before we begin.
It is also important to know that I have actually seen all of it.
Yes.
Like, this
You're
isn't one
experience.
Of those, like, clickbaity, like, everyone is talking about this show streaming kind of operations.
So before we begin, there's two things I want to point out. Number one, there's all these categories. I'm going to ask Svetlana, give me one for the newbie from each category. And we're going to go through them and we're going to discuss them. But also, I want you to, this is the other thing that I never knew about. There's two things on here, Acorn and MHZ Choice, which are two streaming services that I would have never known about if not for you.
Yes.
How did you find these streaming services?
Well, at some point, like, what is available on Netflix and Amazon and Hulu is, like, finite, you know? I mean, it is inevitably, in many ways, inspired by popularity and et cetera. And I do think that they're producing more and more original content to fit into these categories. But because, obviously, there is an audience for it. But if you want to kind of go into, like, the platonic ideals of what these things are, which are a lot of... you know, Nordic noir, a lot of based on a book, European book inspired things, you have to really, like, find other resources, which means you're either, you know, purchasing episodes at $1.99 or whatever they are, or you're giving $5 to a subscription and enjoying some more of it. So Acorn is very much dedicated to British crime. And host, like, the whole, like, a lot of, like, truly like classics, mm-hmm. as well as some new stuff. And then and they're branching out into other English accented things. And then MHZ Choice used to be kind of like a PBS style channel,
okay.
that now is a subscription channel, and it's completely dedicated to European, so like Northern Europe, Italy, like things like that. So if you're in the mood for like not some like super predictable destinations, you know, like Baltimore or whatever.
We'll get to Homicide. All right, let's start at the top.
Yeah.
This is the Murder Mystery Guy 2018.
Murder Mystery Guy.
Find it on brightestyoungthings.com. For every single episode, by the way, if you're listening to this, there is a guide of every single thing we've talked about. Later in this day, if you're listening live around 3 p.m., whenever this episode goes live, there's a This Week on BYT Radio. Every single thing we talk about, you won't have to search. You'll just click it there, and it'll be super easy to search. Anyways, here we go. New. New is the top category. That makes sense. Out of all of the new ones, what is the one that the newbie should watch?
So it isn't necessarily, I should say, like it isn't new, it's just like new to streaming, mm-hmm. right? Because we're focusing on things that are available
Correct.
For streaming. I would say that I personally am the biggest fan of Mindhunter is the movie.
I want to point out that you're the expert.
Mindhunter.
This is the David Fincher. Okay.
If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It's easily available. It takes maybe a second to get into it, but I think it's very worth it. If you're interested into the darker side of the human mind, or how like the whole serial killer culture began, it truly is like a must-see. And then I would say out of the maybe things that are not so obvious, mm-hmm. I would recommend 13, which is on Amazon Prime, and it's a 5-hour super tight kidnapping mystery.
You need to finish the sentences. You just can't say it's a super tight kidnapping. We're sending mixed messages. Do you think, as a consumer of
finish sentence.
And a consumer for something that's so dark, it's good to name your work after something that already exists. There's a relatively famous film called 13 that came out about 10 years
ago. Yeah, but I think
ago.
It makes it maybe less easy to find, right? So, you know, obviously, like, the movie 13 is an American movie about...
Gus Van Sant.
It's not a Gus Van Sant. It's a woman that directed it, and now I'm going to fail.
I think we're only
going
to credit men on this show from here on out, so no. I apologize.
I think Britain has this whole kind of like cottage industry of crime miniseries that are being churned out by BBC and ITV, etc. And I think 13 is one of the better ones that came out recently.
Before we move on to female leads, my only problem with this entire section is I didn't know about this show until I read about it. It's a show called Dark, available on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's not cool. You shouldn't name your show Dark. You don't get to own that adjective. That's too big.
I mean, I feel like it's in line. There was a German movie called Silence
that's
a couple
not cool.
years ago.
That's not cool.
And this is, again, German. And I feel like Germans just, like, don't care about, like, SEO, right?
Exactly. My like, favorite SEO.
The lesson learned here is that Germans don't care about SEO.
Yeah, that's what we're going for. Okay, next category, strong, independent female leads.
Yeah, I think... you know, I think Prime Suspect, you start with that and it takes you places, right? Helen Mirren is a pioneer. Linda LaPlante's novels are some of the best and tightest crime writing that is out there. And, you know, it is like a true example of sort of prestige television. Before prestige television mm-hmm. was a thing, right? This is like the 90s. We wouldn't have anything we have in the murder mystery. There would be no Luther, no Sherlock, no none of that if there wasn't this. And now there's like this whole kind of canon of Inspector Tennyson, which involves like origin story series that's right now in PBS Mystery, et cetera. But if you are interested in this kind of thing, I think you haven't seen Prime Suspect, it's the obvious.
So the reason why I like this category is because it has my two personal favorites, which is The Fall.
And Fall is terrific.
The Killing. And The Killing, even though the last Netflix-only season was very uneven, I still enjoyed it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I just love those characters. That is a show that's not an original American show. That was originally a European show. that seems to be a common yeah, theme for
so,
most
I mean,
of these.
Americans. I'm going
You could throw shade. It's okay.
Throw some shade. Americans like need to just come up with some like original idea, right? Like the number one problem is that American like primetime TV currently has is that they're just rehashing things, whether it is What the Killing or they try to make another Broadchurch with like David
Tennant.
And we'll
get to Broadchurch too.
So just kind of get with it. Come up with some original ideas. You are a place where Twin Peaks aired. Like, step it up.
Okay, time to talk about dark, moody male leads.
Yeah, so Broadchurch is obviously a terrific example of that. David Tennant is one of my personal favorites, and he shows up in some other categories in this this story. There's three seasons. It's three different mysteries. They're sort of interconnected, so you do need to, I would say, like watch it. But I think it's phenomenal. Luther is, I think, aside from like Sherlock, another sort of classic, like British classic.
Sherlock is also in this category.
Yeah, Sherlock is absolutely in that category. Idris Elba became a star because of Luther. Benedict Cumberbatch became a star because of Sherlock.
See, you know way more about murder mysteries and European everything than me. Did Idris Elba become a star because of Luther or because of The Wire? Or was it a combination of the two? Did he get worldwide acclaim because of Luther and American critical acclaim because of The Wire?
I'm not sure personally.
Okay.
Like, I can't necessarily, like,
So you're saying you're
pulse.
Not Idris Elba's agent?
I'm not Idris okay. Elba's agent. But I can tell you that he made a good decision with Luther, which is more than we can say about some of the other decisions he has made since being in Hollywood.
Why are you throwing shade at Idris Elba?
Because he is failing us.
I don't think he's failing us.
Yeah, come on, the mountain between us.
Did you see it though?
I didn't see it. Thing. I mean, it all looks terrible.
Yeah, but he made money.
I know.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Get paid. See, this is probably your biggest category.
Well, what, the dark moody male?
Dark moody males.
You know, it's kind of like a standby, right? Like you're a tortured detective.
Yeah.
And this is it. I would say the one example here that if you have not seen before that I would highly recommend, it's also available on Netflix, it's Department Q.
Okay.
Which is three standalone movies. They're based on a best-selling Danish show called book series by UC Adler Olsen, and I am the biggest fan of this. I feel like if somehow like Netflix, on account of like producing at this point like just an endless amount of content, mm-hmm. It is becoming harder and harder to like find certain things on it. Just find it and watch it, and I think it would have people talking as much as like Sherlock did when it first came out. Like that is how I feel about.
But what language is this in?
It's in Dutch.
It's in Dutch, which means it's there's a different category as well. We'll get to that later under subtitles, but we're going to go into the next one. But really quick, do you think this will be adapted into an American series that will inevitably not be good?
Because
that seems to be the trend here.
Possibly.
Cool. All right, moving on to period murder, which isn't what you think it is.
There is blood. And
I cannot make certain jokes.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can. So period murder, this is about not the current day.
Not the current past. Day. Yeah,
costumed drama.
Costumed dramas. I would recommend Foyle's War as like a classic of that, which deals with this idea of how during major upheavals in history, crime, the old fashioned crime, often falls by the wayside, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So like if there is a war, are we really on the hunt for killers when millions of people are dying? Is this what we're applying our resources to?
It's a great point that very few people think about. It's a really good recommendation. It's a very short recommendation. Your other, I want to make it clear that like not all of these are like 1,000 words on each show. Clearly they're not. Some of these are very short recommendations, so you don't feel like you have to like strap in and sit down for a few hours. You'll be able to get a good overview quickly. Moving on, British classics.
There would truly be
none of this.
None
probably.
Of this without it. I mean, you know, David Suchet Poirot.
Yeah.
Like, it's where you start, begin, and end. It's like it has like a veritable who's who of future stars in it. His like version of Murder on the Orient Express has Jessica Chastain and Toby Jones, and one could argue is better than what was remade in Hollywood. Like, not as good as the 70s thing, but, you know, just he like owns the character and takes the character and places to a point where it ends, you are truly legitimately like affected by the show being over.
American classics.
I mean, I don't know where to go with this. Like, Twin Peaks, obviously, because at the BYT office, there would be no BYT office if
I don't know about that. No, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one in the office that finished season 3 and watched it every week.
Yeah, I didn't even finish
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
True.
So clearly, but, not Twin Peaks.
But I mean, when I originally put this in, it is in the sense of what it did for TV
sure.
in the original 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the second season is a little rough going, but the way the tension and character driven twists are used is pretty spectacular. You know, I have like a soft spot for both Law and Order and Murder, She Wrote mm-hmm. because, you know, guilty pleasure stuff
sure.
is tremendous. But really, the one thing here that maybe people don't see as being like the classic is the Homicide: Murder on the Streets, which is probably one of the best pieces of television that America produced ever, and no one talks about it.
I promised Baltimore we got to Baltimore. Moving on, subtitles. Subtitled.
Yeah.
So we've already talked about a few that are subtitled, but this is a separate subsection within the guide. So give me something that's subtitled that's possibly... So here's the thing. I watch a lot of television on an iPad while I'm doing dishes. Therefore, I'm not going to watch anything subtitled. Don't roll
Absolutely.
Your eyes at me. I got to do dishes. It's important to have clean dishes. Anyways, what's something that's like really worth sitting
down?
Well,
I would say that mysteries are not like a great thing to watch when you're doing anything else.
Documentaries are. That's definitely the way to go.
Yeah, because it's almost like a radio show.
Exactly. But for this, subtitles.
But if you're trying to solve something, you should be paying attention.
Exactly. So
right?
out of
because
all of these.
I would hope that everyone is also trying to solve something through this. Like, I mean, it's meant to be kind of like a puzzle exercise for you and your friends and family
yes.
as well. You know, I mean, the original Wallander is a classic of the genre. I think a really, really good show that maybe doesn't get a lot of credit and is kind of available piecemeal across different channels is Spiral, which is a French unit series, which I keep hoping there will be more of.
Yeah, this is on Netflix and MHZ Choice, but
yeah.
not the same episode.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that you'll see here, it truly is kind of piecemeal, right? Like, I don't know, like, how...
Which is part of the mystery.
Which is part of the mystery, and I don't know what the rhyme or reason is.
Okay, this is a category that I think is funny. In English, but you could probably use subtitles.
Yeah.
Okay.
because Welsh accents, Northern British accents...
I think I've seen...
New Zealand accents...
I think I've seen Happy Valley recommended to me on Netflix.
It's tremendous.
Okay.
I mean, I would say
so I
Happy Valley is like top okay. of my list here. It isn't, again, like a murder mystery in the true sense of what we discussed, but it is a mystery.
Less than 6-hour commitments, a.k.a. miniseries.
Yeah.
You get a weekend off, you get a day off.
Got a weekend off. I would say the Red Riding Trilogy, which I just mentioned, which is... better than anything that came out in Hollywood in the last 5 years. And then I would recommend checking out Criminal Justice, which the first season of which used as inspiration for The Night Of on HBO with John Turturro. But there's 2 seasons available to stream, and the second season is particularly prescient and timely
and
right now.
Our final category, and probably the category that's going to determine a lot of 2018 for British Young Things, and I think the future of how these things are made, true crime.
Mm.
Okay. This is out of
endlessly
all,
frustrating category.
This is frustrating for me because it's definitely my least favorite. This is, to me, the saddest. This is where you have actual pain and suffering.
Well, and often there's no closure.
That's yes, exactly. Once again, this is like real life because it's true crime. It's not The Fall. It's not like, ooh, is Jamie Dornan and Gillian Anderson going to get together because the murderer's hot? It's not like that. It's just sad all around and everyone's losing. this is the most popular category. This is probably the category you've had to and will have to expand for 2019. Out of all of these, is there anything you can even recommend that people don't know about?
You know, I was thinking about this, and I have a French show on there called Almost Perfect Crimes, because I do think that in America, as like a trend emerges, more and more stuff is being put out, and we are kind of running out of certain things. Like, I kind of feel like The Keepers, which was a great show for the first 5 episodes, and then it falls apart, is truly an example of America trying to produce something very quickly to match a trend.
The trend, which was probably started by Making a Murderer?
Yeah, I would say Making a Murderer and Jinx were kind of like where the we got there, and I think the idea of Jinx and Serial as a podcast, yes, kind of reopening investigations or finding certain new answers to something is something that obviously is very appealing to the true crime viewer. But sadly, you know, you can't guarantee that what happens at the end of Jinx will happen in other circumstances.
If you take away,
and it becomes very, very frustrating.
Absolutely. If you take away the murder in Jinx, it's one of the funniest documentaries ever produced.
Yeah, it's terrific.
He's great. Anyways, so that's not all of them. There are so many more recommendations.
Yeah, there's 8,000 words.
But this ties to what Brightish Young Things is presenting every single Thursday in January at Sun Cinema, which is the BYT Murder Club. It is not what it sounds like.
Much like period murder.
Well, once again, I can't make certain jokes.
We're making t-shirts that are going to say period murder. No, I'm kidding.
Actually, I'm not kidding. Eric, we're going to email Eric during this show. Anyways, so BYT Murder Club is something that you curated.
Yeah, so actually the great thing is Suns, which has a podcast here on Tuesdays, is this great little movie theater, and I have somehow persuaded them that because winter is a great time for murder, they should have mysteries all day in January, and they also listen to, I would say, 65% of my 1,000 recommendations that I send them for this. But they did give me free rein over Thursdays, so I have chosen some underseen, closed room mysteries.
So what is tonight's screening?
Tonight's is one of my favorite movies, actually, okay, maybe of all time. It's called The Last of Sheila.
Okay.
Herbert Ross, who directed Goodbye Girl and Goodbye Mr. Chips and Turning Point, directed it. It was written by Stephen Sondheim and Anthony Perkins, and it features some of the most glamorous people to ever walk the earth in the 1970s. James Coburn, Diane Cannon, Raquel Welch, a very young Ian McShane, on a boat in the Mediterranean playing games, which may or may not lead to murder.
Cool. It totally leads to murder. Spoiler.
Everyone is really good at wearing white pants in this movie.
Did you want to be a director? Or make films?
I mean, I think like much like any kind of person who's like a nerd, right? Like I worked in a video store, you worked in a video store, my husband worked in a video store. It's like a pattern in life here. Like I'm just like, oh, did you work in a video store?
We work in dying industries.
Yeah. I think I obviously toyed with the notion of how fun it would be to make film, but I never really like acted on it. It's not like I consciously like tried to go to school for it or anything like that.
What about script writing? Here's a better question. Do you have an idea of a story that you'd like to see on screen one day?
I have lots.
Okay.
Lots.
Okay.
And I mean, I always say that like one day I will retire and I will like move to like, you know, a beach and okay, I will just write like
the great American murder novel that's not written in America.
Yeah, I don't know how great
beach
it needs to be, but yeah, you know,
the very sellable murder novel.
Yeah.
All right, we're running a little long here, so let's just do a quick run through of what else is on the site this week. One of the things I wanted to mention is something I will absolutely never do, which is a soup cleanse.
Why wouldn't you do a soup cleanse?
Because that's not how bodies are meant to live, so I'm not going to ever do that.
I was actually reading this, and I was thinking how like it's actually like a pretty sane-sounding thing.
Out of all of the cleanses,
I'm clearly also insane.
It's the least crazy cleanse out of all of the cleanses. You've done 2 cleanses that I do not recommend in any way. 2 juice cleanses.
Yes.
One alone, one not alone.
Yep.
Would you do it again?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean... I think it's very important to understand why you're doing it. So I have done 2 juice cleanses in the past, and I was just kind of thinking recently how I should do it again, because
really
it's not and I don't recommend doing anything drastic to your body. I believe in being healthy, mm-hmm. and you should eat everything and drink everything as long as it is in some level of moderation, right? Which is debatable what like moderate is.
Absolutely.
For most people. But I do think that after the holidays or something of that kind, it is important to sort of reset yourself a little.
Okay.
I find myself like addicted to coffee all of a sudden, mm-hmm. again. I find myself like needing 2 glasses of wine versus like a single glass of wine.
Sure.
And while I'm sure you could go into it, you know, again, a saner way, possibly with like a soup cleanse.
Sure.
Doing something that simply like gets all that stuff out of your system while not necessarily foregoing like nutrients. I think it's very important to research. You shouldn't go on some kind of like lemon cayenne, like and nothing else.
Which are a lot of juice cleanses.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the ones you've been on, but a lot.
Yeah, the
people.
Ones I've been on, like you can kind of consciously say that you know you're having some vegetables and things like that, which is why I think the soup cleanse.
And here's why I'm not going to do
that. Is all that plus more comfort.
I'll just eat vegetables.
Sure.
See what I mean? I just did it. I didn't have to do the
cleanse.
Yeah,
and you probably didn't spend $200 on it.
No, I didn't. I just bought vegetables and ate them. You see, that's...
Yeah.
Now, I think that...
But I will tell you, for example, I'm trying to do that this week.
The cleanse?
Like, not like a cleanse, but just kind of like a more... Mm-hmm. More like conscious, getting things out of my system so I can become like a normal person again as opposed to this like... You know, Chardonnay, like infused being that is like, walking around.
Hey, Eric, if you're listening, we're making T-shirts that say Chardonnay infused bean. We like money. That would sell. I want that.
Yeah, that T-shirt is gonna do well. But it's so hard, like, to account for everything that happens to you in a week. Like people, like I mean, maybe some people have like a circumstance where they know exactly where they're gonna eat every meal and everything
yes.
else. Kind of investing in a cleanse also makes you kind of stick to it.
I understand that. I just think that I don't need the forced, this is your meal of the day.
You're like a better, stronger
Not a
person.
Better, stronger person. I'm definitely stronger because I'm eating proteins and not just going on juice cleanses. I'm definitely stronger because of that. But I think that there's something good about these things. I think there's a lot of bad about these things. And I think they're definitely worth exploring. Not necessarily
yeah, I mean,
each
much,
person exploring,
much like anything
about
that is a fad.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a reason why people are attracted to it and why also it wasn't around 200 years ago.
Remember Wayne's World?
Yeah.
Okay, in Wayne's World 1, they're driving and
born in the 80s.
And they're driving and Cassandra's like, when'd you get the CD player? He's like, when I got the money.
Yeah.
That's to me every cleanse. It's like, how did you lose weight? I ate better and I worked out. That's it. That's what you that's do that.
No.
Why do you need a cleanse? It's the same thing.
I think you know, people like throwing money at problems.
Speaking of throwing money at problems, Bryce Young Things set up a Patreon this week, which you could subscribe to. I have no idea how to figure that out.
Yeah, we got to get our act together.
One of the things, the final thing before we move on to Best Weekend Bets and take a really quick break here, is an annual feature. In addition to the Murder Mystery Guide, we don't do it. John does this.
Yeah, John Foster does this, who also is a major murder mystery fan, but also possibly one of the most competent design experts out there. You know, I mean, this is a person that has written forewords to Steven Sagmeister's books.
So he's got a...
And somehow we have tricked him several years ago to start doing this thing, and he keeps doing it.
He's got his own design firm, so he does a lot of album covers, and he's got a new book coming out later this year. It's a 300-word... Yeah, it's very short. It's a 300-page volume of artwork, of music artwork. And so today... is our best album art of 2017. Tomorrow, inevitably, the much more fun worst album art of 2017. We all like looking at the pretty things, but horribly ugly things are just as good. We're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to do some Best Weekend Bets and say goodbye to everybody. Don't get murdered.
Everything was different. I didn't recognize.
And today's murder music here on the break, it's called Night Meds. It's by Rec Tech. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Jack, where is Rectex from?
New York.
I like this. Do you know them personally?
Oh, yeah. He's like my best friend. He actually does some work here at Full Service Radio. That guy taught me everything I know about internet radio and sound, so, yeah.
Well, internet radio is not a thing. That's not how radio works.
I know.
Know what words mean. Come on. You have the computer box in front of you. Why don't people call it a computer box? Isn't that much more fun thing to say? I have a laptop and then I have a computer box at home.
It's not really a box, though.
Shut up. Okay. Every week on British Young Things Radio, we recommend what to do.
Brandon Weatherby, such a charmer.
Yeah. No, I'm the person you listen to hate. And then you're like, at least I'm not like that dude. Every week on British Young Things Radio and on BritishYoungThings.com, we have our best weekend bets. It's what to do in the great city of Washington, D.C., where none of our residents have voting rights. So you should subscribe to this because you'll get it at 9 a.m. And occasionally we'll have giveaways and special ticket announcements at 9 a.m. And then by the time it goes live on the site at noon, things are sold out, tickets have been given away, and you're upset that you didn't sign up. It's free. Just do it. It's easy. Go to BritishYoungThings.com. So best weekend bets, what to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're going to pick one. I'm going to pick two. What are we going to do tonight, Thursday, January 11th?
Well, I mean, aside from obviously the BYT Murder Club,
mm-hmm.
where you can see me in person and feel.
You are an attraction.
I am
Chardonnay infused. What was it?
Yeah, Chardonnay infused being.
That's it.
I think, you know, there's some fun shows, right? Tonight. Lynching?
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right, so my pick for the night in terms of shows is Brenda at Comet Ping Pong.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I didn't want to like...
Don't worry about stepping on my toes.
Oh.
You're all okay. Great. There's a ton of stuff. Brenda is spelled B-R-N-D-A because SEO is silly and they don't want you to find out. And we always recommend Comet Ping Pong because we really like Comet Ping Pong. And a lot of the shows that would have been at Black Hat or Black Hat Backstage have been going to places like Comet Ping Pong because Black Hat's getting a renovation. It's a good time to definitely break your diet and eat a bunch of gluten and pizza and beer at Comet Ping Pong tonight.
Yeah, I think also in line with that, right, I think Showtime. We always recommend Showtime.
Showtime is fantastic. Showtime's got their holiday party tonight, January 11th. All right.
Sounds great. I mean, I think having bars that are just bars is something that should be like celebrated. I feel like in this day and age.
You know, in fact, Solana, we have a piece on BritishYoungThings.com. Bars that are just bars on New Year's Eve. I don't know if you guys realize this. You could use that year round.
Yeah.
Bars that are just bars on New Year's Eve are probably
nothing fancy.
Just bars every night.
Get yourself a nice little combo. We have the least douchey bars in DC too, which is only about bars that are just bars.
It's getting more and more difficult to do that every
year.
Come up
is.
With new stuff.
It is.
All right, moving on. Friday, January 12th. What is your pick?
Well, I feel like this is sort of my pick for the whole weekend, which is in line with my favorite activity in the world, which is people watching, which is the Mid-Atlantic Leather Conference is in town.
That's right.
And while I just did snaps on radio, like most pointless thing in the world to
you
do.
No, I can't snap.
We do. What?
I can't snap.
It's ridiculous.
Sure.
And we do have
correct.
We do have a gay Best Weekend Bets every week as well, which this week is chock-a-block full with Mid-Atlantic leather activities. But I think it's just like a great time to celebrate, you know.
Yeah, that's all weekend. That's
Friday.
Wearing
leather in really cold weather.
It's not that cold.
I guess.
It's going to hit 69 tomorrow. Hell yeah. So today it's like 55. It's wonderful. So that's your Friday pick. That's also going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. My Friday pick is Morton's Steakhouse. Here's why. It's 40 years of Morton's. Which
I know. We have a story called 40 Years of Meat.
Hell yeah.
I had to like click on that and to realize what that was about.
So we went to Morton's earlier this year and we're like, how is this around? How is Morton still a thing? And it's still a thing. So many steakhouses have come and gone. Rest in peace, STK.
Yeah, I mean, DC's not rest in peace, rest in unpeace, STK.
Listen, I like my sex and my steak definitely on the same page, and I like a real sexist too.
Yeah, Brandon and I went on kind of like a pseudo press lunch to STK, which was like this female targeting steakhouse, whatever that was. I feel like they were playing like Journey.
Yeah, it was great. I felt bad because the
staff, everything was like a sexy cocktail.
Yeah. And it was real derogatory towards your gender.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was great. Anyways, Morton's has been
that's not around anymore.
For 40 years. And the reason why we're doing this is because in their press release, they get it. They're offering a $69 of Sexy Beast wine. Because they get it. Okay.
Yeah.
My other pick is Pizza Paradiso, specifically the Georgetown location, because they have a brand new game room, and we have a feature up on BrightyChunkThings.com today. It's the Paradiso Game Room.
Is there like a drinking game, or how many times we say our URL during this radio show?
Hopefully no, because people will die from alcohol poisoning. Yeah. No, the whole point of the show is to get people to go to the website so they have a better life. That's the entire purpose of existing. Phil Runco is our beer writer, and he did an amazing job with this and most every other beer story he's ever done, and that is currently available on BrightyChunkThings.com. What is your Saturday, January 13th pick?
I'm going to say go see some art.
Okay, where?
We are recommending the opening for the Contraband Show with the Washington Project for the Arts, mm-hmm. which is conveniently located right next to 930 Club and a bunch of other places you would go to. And I think the amount of great independent art openings in D.C. Is also something to celebrate.
It's also one of the few free things we could do. That you could do that doesn't necessarily feel like a cheap thing, because there's a big difference. Just because there's not a cover doesn't mean that it's like bad or poor. Does that make sense?
Nothing is bad or poor. It's on our website.
Okay, I understand
that. We have a free pick every day, but it's not about being bad or poor. It's about not attaching a value to your ticket price, but to the experience.
If you have a $30 ticket price, you can go to the DC Tattoo Expo, which is not in DC.
Oh. And see so much potential infection.
Yeah.
It's like my number one takeaway.
Is there a murder mystery of based on a tattoo artist that's just like, he tattoos death into people?
No.
And okay, just throwing that out there.
Terrified.
I apologize.
Terrified.
I'm going to celebrate 1-8 Distilling. That's going to be my other Saturday pick. 1-8 Distilling is a local distillery. The fact that DC now has like multiple breweries and distilleries and wineries, brand new wineries, is a very odd thing considering when you started this site, there was none of that.
No, actually, there was none of anything when I started this website. I started it legitimately so I could, like, I don't know why I started it, but I started it to try to get people to get more than like 20 people to their weird dance party or like art opening. And now there is like a billion like things that are supposedly going to attract hundreds if not thousands of people.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sunday, January 14th. It is a holiday weekend, so you can stay out late. What is your pick for Sunday, January 14th?
Well, you know, I think it's it's kind of hard, right? It's the MLK weekend. Mm-hmm. It's the Russian New Year.
That's right. Do I go to Marivan or do I go to Howard? I don't know.
I know. You got to maybe you can do both.
You can. Celebrate the New Year in the day, which is weird, and then go to Howard at night.
Yeah. I would say, you know, there's some if you're sort of new to DC, I think this is obviously like to some extent also for people staying at this hotel trying to make some decisions. And I do think going to see Trouble Funk, you know, or Rare Essence is like a pretty essential DC experience.
Two of the most important go-go bands in DC history. They're still around. They're still very good. They are playing Howard Theater. It is the fourth annual MLK birthday show.
Speaking also of people watching, the Washington Wedding Expo
is in
town. So you got your Mid-Atlantic leather.
That's right.
You got some crazed women.
Hey. That's sexist. There could be crazed husbands. How dare you?
Driven crazy by their crazed women.
Hey, hold on. You're saying gay people won't attend this?
I actually don't think it feels so like heteronormative.
It is definitely targeted towards Bridezillas, specifically the TV show Bridezilla.
I feel like The gay community has more imagination. They don't need an expo.
The only reason I mention this is because do you remember that Happy Endings episode where they go to the bridal expo?
Yeah.
And
no,
that was a great episode.
It was a great episode.
That's all. Okay.
Yeah.
My pick is...
I recommend going to it. Whether you're getting married or not.
We're both married. What's the point?
Yeah.
Just go there and be glad
just
you don't have to do this.
Imagine the Instagram stories you could post.
I'm going to pick Atlas Brew Works. Atlas is probably my favorite brewery in Washington, D.C., and there's a metal show. It's like an early afternoon metal show, and all of the proceeds go to for wildlife rescue.
For all those men looking for a release.
So men that look like bears will donate money towards bears. And speaking of bears, it is Mal weekend, so I also am going to recommend church, which is not the kind you're thinking of. Holy glory, different type of holy glory that you're thinking of, at Trade.
Maybe people at this point just know exactly what kind of things we're thinking of. It's
yeah, cool
like
things.
The fifth episode. Right?
Yeah, it's cool things.
Cool things. So.
Monday, because it's a holiday weekend, we are going to give our picks, and that's volunteer. So we have multiple volunteers.
It's a day of service,
events.
People.
It's a day of service.
Go to an early show on Sunday and save your energy to do something good for the world.
We have seasonal guides, so based on the weather, there might actually be some outdoor volunteering that might happen if the weather maintains how it is. It's currently around 50 degrees in Washington, D.C. If it dips back down to 32, I recommend checking out our winter volunteering guide or possibly spring volunteering guide. If it is this warm, seriously, check out the summer volunteering guide. There's a bunch of stuff. So if you're the kind of person that's like, I really don't want to deal with other people, I just want to clean something, you could do that. If you really want to shake hands and make food for people, you could do that.
Yeah, or, you know, if you don't have time, which is a lie, you have time. You have time.
Listen to this Chardonnay infused bean. You have time.
You can take time away from watching murder mysteries and spend 2 hours doing something good for the world. But even if you don't have time, just because it's warm this weekend, it doesn't mean it's not going to get cold again. There is a number of coat drives, mm-hmm. blanket drives. Another really important thing, which I'm just going to, you know, be a little real here, like with the homeless population mm-hmm. that DC has, toiletries, feminine hygiene products, all of those are in really high need, especially during the winter season. Just take a look and find something that speaks to you.
That's a positive note to end on. That's
yeah.
very supportive.
I think so.
You have no personal Twitter, no personal Instagram. If you want people,
I have a personal Instagram.
That's right. I apologize. You have a personal. You don't have a personal Twitter though. You just use BYT.
I don't use any of it.
You don't know what Twitter is. That's fantastic. But people should follow you on Instagram. Where can they follow you?
At Svetlana BYT.
And people should follow the BYT account.
Which is really my last name now.
Oh boy. people should follow the BYT account. It's actually spelled out on Instagram, Brightish Young Things. We are on Twitter
at BYT.
And at Facebook, just type in Brightish Young Things. You will find us. Once again, brightishyoungthings.com. That's about like
yeah,
3
there's
dozen
a
times.
Million. There's like a million useful things there.
Yeah.
We also have I think this is worth mentioning, even though it's getting warmer, so it didn't make the cut. But we have a super fun giant soup guide. So pho and ramen, which I feel like is very useful in the winter. No? You don't care about that?
It's 55. I was saving it to next week.
Okay, well, you can wheel someone in to talk about it.
I could wheel
category
someone
by category, kind of like how we discussed murder today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
People should go to Sun Cinema tonight, next week, Thursday, and the week after that, and
yeah,
then never go again unless we're presenting
Thursday an event. Next Thursday is going to be great.
Okay. And then it closes with Clue, which is a movie you actually know.
Yeah, we're giving you a gimme.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Jack.
Play the goodbye song. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful night.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.